Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Dallas is Jessica Simpson. Jessica is Recruiting Director at Consellium, and today we're going to be talking about some career issues for compliance professionals. First, Jessica, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, thanks so much, Adam. I'm excited to be on and have the opportunity to discuss some of these topics with you.
Well, great. I'm looking forward to hearing this. It's a little bit different of what we talk about, but I know it's a topic that people care a lot about. Now, first, what's the state of the job market for compliance? I mean, I know that in the broader market, it's not good, but what are you seeing in terms of compliance teams of both forced departures and employees choosing to leave on their own?
Yeah, so, you know, the market for talented compliance professionals, I think that's a caveat you have to say for any, you know, position you're looking at or the people who really are your strong candidates, that's remained pretty strong. While we did see some consolidations and layoffs early in the pandemic, you know, many organizations really realized that these are critical and highly visible roles. And so they've resumed hiring, which is a great sign. You know, as a result, the demand for those highly effective candidates is high, and candidates know this. And so they are willing to make a change. And, you know, early on, obviously March, April, people were very hesitant to make moves, but everything sort of came to a pause at that point. As you know, we've started to pick back up, though, candidates want to know what differentiates a company from where they're at now. They've had a chance to sort of reevaluate both their organization and their role and what their career trajectory looks like. So we do see a number of candidates who are willing to make a change, and compliance has remained fairly steady. So I think it's great for, you know, this market. Can't speak for other industries, but across the board, compliance has remained very hot.
Well, it's great to know. Now, there's a lot of angles to look at this. And let me start, you know, as you mentioned, candidates are finding that there's a lot of opportunities out there, but for their, you know, employers, they obviously want to keep the best people. So what's the best way to successfully retain your compliance team in this era and keep people from heading for the door?
So we did a poll a while back, because it's been a topic that's come up from a number of our clients, and you know, about 70% of hiring managers said that they were concerned about losing members of their team. You know, there's a number of things that you can do to retain talent, just as there's a number of factors that go into why someone may want to leave. I'd say there's really four that are I'd highlight. You know, one is provide clear growth plans, both for the department and your individual employees. And then they can then trickle that down if they have people that they manage doing the same for those. So that they know what's expected, what the plan going forward is, and what they need to do to achieve those goals for the organization and for their own growth. Realistic competitive incentives. It's a hot market, and there, you know, these professionals are getting phone calls from recruiters and from organizations that are looking to hire. And so those organizations are going to be highlighting what makes them different and why they should want to come work with them. You need to be doing the same and making sure your employees feel, you know, valued, respected, and that there are incentives for staying and, you know, providing their loyalty. Third, flexible work environment. I think COVID changed that pretty drastically for most people. And so a lot of people now are saying, you know, I don't mind going back to work once things have calmed down, but I also really like having this flexibility. And the companies that are going to be competitive and keep their talent are the ones that understand that there needs to be some sort of hybrid work environment going forward, you know, that really balances out work life, you know, there as well. And so I think it's people with families or with other responsibilities, having that flexibility is really important. So we've seen with COVID that model can work in a hybrid situation, and candidates tend to feel less fatigued when they have some flexibility to balance things out. And then fourth, you know, it's really important to listen to your employees. I know that sounds like it should be second nature, but they feel valued, and it provides an opportunity to make changes and address concerns as they present instead of later when there's a larger issue.
Well, we've certainly seen a lot of transformation, that's for sure, as you alluded, and it'll really be fascinating to look to see towards the future how things evolve, both with people splitting between working from home or not and building career tracks, especially in this period where, the economy sort of restarting again. Now, what about hiring? If you're in the fortunate position of being able to hire, how's the best way to recruit the right talent? It's got to be a lot more difficult to get a sense of a person via Zoom call, I imagine, than in person.
You know, it's interesting. We really had to counsel our clients on this when COVID first broke out and we had the stay-at-home orders. I think there's a little bit of a mental hurdle for people to get over when it comes to video interviews versus in-person. But I look at it like this. How many people never make it to the in-person phase because they didn't do well on a phone interview? It's really the same concept as an in-person interview versus a Zoom call or a Teams. You know, it's a short period of time that you get to spend with an individual to try to see if it's going to be a good fit. And that's the case, whether it's in person or over a video. I have a client who had been doing all of their interviews over Zoom for years prior to the pandemic, and they were really able to hit the ground running, didn't miss a beat when the pandemic broke out because they already had the technology in place and were embracing that. And so they were really fortunate. They're on job number three that they're working through us in addition to other positions that they're hiring for because they were able to schedule things very quickly. And I think if you can get around the idea that someone's on a video across from you as opposed to across a table or across a desk, it really gives you a lot of advantages. One of the biggest things that we're seeing is with these candidates being approached by a number of different recruiters and organizations is that you have to move quickly. And so technology enables you to do that. You're not having to worry about who's traveling or who's in the office that day or if the candidate has enough time to get across town for an interview, and scheduling tends to draw things out over a course of weeks. Candidates get fatigued or they get another offer with a company that's able to move more quickly. So I think it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It's just different. And, you know, the companies that use it to their advantage will really be able to be the ones that thrive and remain nimble through all the various changes. I'm sure there's going to be more before things are said and done. You know, and I think the final thing is just make sure, and this is whether you're on video or in person, know what differentiates your organization from the others out there and consistently highlight it. It'll not only set you apart, but it also will attract the right candidates that are going to be aligned with those interests and values.
Good advice. I mean, because bottom line is, you know, the candidate's also looking to see how this is going to be a fit for him or her. And let me keep on this topic of the candidate's perspective. First, assuming someone's a candidate looking for a new position, how do you make yourself more attractive to employers? And does your approach really need to be different if you're not working these days?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And, you know, it's a little bit of the same line of thought as with the employer side. You really have to know what differentiates yourself. While the candidate market's really tight, there are still a number of really great individuals. And whether you're, you know, applying on your own or you're working with a search partner, you really have to know what you can do to highlight yourself and your skills and what makes you different. So I would say on your resume, on your social media profile, whether it's LinkedIn or whatever else you're using, you know, highlight specific projects you've been a part of, have successes that you can reference both on your resume so that if someone's just reviewing that at first and hasn't spoken with you yet, they see that, what value it brings, and then be able to bring it up during interviews. You know, you don't have to do it in a grandiose way, and you stay humble, nothing over the top, but really be able to communicate to your potential employer so that they know that you would be an integral part of that team. And then I think another part of that is to have goals, and both not as, only as you see your personal career track, but also what your goals would be for that position and the organization as a larger piece. So if you go in and you're on interview, you know, number two or three, and you have a really good sense of what the company's mission is, as well as what the, you know, objectives are for that role, talk about how you would help to get there for the company. Know what the company's mission is. How would you align yourself and further the company's mission so that your potential employer can really start to see you as part of the team? And then I think another part that goes along with this that people don't always think about, but network. So many people that I talk to will say, oh, I heard about you or I heard about this job through someone I'm in a professional organization with or through someone I used to work with. That's a huge part of it. And I think especially if you are unemployed, you know, be ready to answer those questions as to why you're not at your, you know, your previous position anymore. but then talk about present tense and future. What are you doing right now to help further your career, even if it's continuing education or, you know, networking, getting involved with other professional organizations so that the, you know, the people you're interviewing with can see that you're proactive and you're really ready to get started on your next project.
That's great. It's always important, I think, to keep looking forward. And you know, I want to underscore something you said about making sure you understand what the mission of the organization is, because that's really going to be key to knowing, you know, if you're going to be comfortable there and be a good fit for it. Now, as a candidate, if you're interviewing, what do you need to do differently in these COVID times to really get a sense if the new potential employer is really a fit for you?
You know, I think this is something that people struggle with, whether it's COVID and they're remote or they're in person. It's a short amount of time that you really get a snapshot as opposed to what you're going to be dealing with on the day-to-day basis. Further, you know, a further challenge is the fact that you aren't able to walk into the building and see, you know, what the environment really seems like on a normal Wednesday afternoon. But that, you know, may not be realistic for a number of months still. I think a big part of this, and it's what we would tell people to do, whether it's pre-COVID or now currently, is really do your research and have questions prepared. I think sometimes people go in with the mindset as, well, I'm the candidate, they're asking me questions, but you absolutely want to ask questions. That's one of the best ways you can figure out if a company is going to be a good culture fit for you. You can read what the job description is, you know what you'd be required to do, and if you match that skill set. But there's a bigger piece of that, and it's, you know, being able to ask what someone, you know, who's been successful in that role, why were they successful? Where had challenges been? How were those challenges addressed? So that you can get a sense of how the company handles different issues. But then I think another part of it is know what your values are and be able to ask questions that will give you some insight as to whether or not your values line up with the company. I think that's really important, and it's, those are the harder things to sort of flesh out, whether, you know, you're talking to someone who's been there for a long time, or you're just talking to the internal HR recruiter to be vetted out, you know, first round interview. You really want to know that you're getting into a situation that's going to be a good culture fit. And so asking questions such as, you know, can you describe the culture? Has it evolved over time? You know, if someone was in a similar role, what helped to make them a high performer or improve? You know, what behaviors are not tolerated here, and if the situation's violated, you know, how is that handled? And those are questions, you know, that you want to ask tactfully, but it also shows the employer that you're interested in thinking, you know, about this position and you're taking it seriously. And it helps you to see if you could picture yourself as part of that organization.
Well, and certainly given the importance of values and culture to a successful compliance program, it's really important to, you know, as you point out, go in knowing if the values and culture are really a fit for you or in the right place, or if they're not, if the organization's committed to getting there.
Absolutely. And I think when we hear companies say that they want to develop a culture of compliance, it's really difficult to do if you don't know what the culture is.
Absolutely. So, Jessica, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.